speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
I began a study with you on yesterday concerning these faithful soldiers of the cross. I read to you today from 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 3, where Paul said, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now here Paul is telling what his life was as a Christian. He knows that it is that warfare in Christ Jesus against Satan and all of his imps. He knows that it's not a carnal warfare, but he also knows that the things of darkness, the doctrines of men, have very, very great strongholds, and they are cast in the minds and the imaginations of men to the extent that we have to examine those imaginations, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we must bring into captivity every thought that we have under the obedience of Christ. Christ is our Lord and Master, and that is our warfare upon the earth, to be sure that we are New Testament Christians, aggressively, militantly, positively, walking in the army of our Lord, invading all the strongholds that Satan may put up against us. We know really, don't we, that Satan wants you to lose your soul. He wants to give you the reward of eternal destruction. And so he has planted, even among the good seed of the kingdom, in the hearts of men while they slept, their enemy Satan has come and sowed tares also among the wheat. And what is the result? Well, of course, the Lord said the tares at the judgment will be bundled up and burned. Matthew 13, verse 24 through 30. What a vicious, dreadful foe that would cause us to be gathered up and burned in the last great day. But that lake of fire and brimstone awaits those who refuse to obey the gospel, or who fall away from obedience to the gospel, or those who would never name the name of Christ. Thus, God's people continue to war against Satan, don't they? And against his army, against sin, against human miseries, against every evil thought and deed, against every false and wicked way. And you know, God's army turns the world upside down to bring it right side up. It pulls down strongholds of error to erect fortifications of truth. It wields the sword of truth to bring true and lasting peace. It's the only way it can come. That is the Christian's warfare, fighting the heinous, ruinous, enslaving, bitter nature and consequence of sin. You know, in Romans 3:23, he said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So remember, this is not a carnal warfare, and therefore no carnal weapons are used, but spiritual warfare with spiritual weapons, even the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. Now let me remind you again that Christians are soldiers of the Lord. We are His army. How do we become soldiers? Well, countless millions have heard their country's call. They laid down their farming implements and their business ties, and they left their wives, their children, their parents, their friends, and they donned the uniform and took on the arms. They marched away to the sound of the drummer. They underwent such deprivation, marched through such disease-laden, snake-infested, muddy swamps and fields, and they endured countless nights of bitter cold with little shelter and covering. That, my friends, is a soldier. They ate often only what they could scavenge from the journeys through which they went in foreign hostile lands. They saw the bosom of their friends and fellow soldiers cut down by the enemy. They've experienced vicious and painful energy and injury and underwent perhaps indescribable and grievous torture at the hands of the enemy, and often returned home to find a burned-out dwelling or shafts of marble marking the graves of their children and of their wives who have been taken by the enemy. Well, if such devotion exists for a physical nation and cause, what devotion and dedication should we have to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to cause a fall that is good and right to be brought forth and upheld for the world, and to the salvation not only of our own souls, but also of the souls of others? You must enlist, though, my friends. You must volunteer. No one serves in the army of any land without enlisting as a soldier, do they? agreeing to abide by their rules, wearing their uniform, carrying their armor, and one must be enrolled as a soldier, just as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Now, you will not be drafted. You're not going to be forced into this army. However, for you are the free will being of God. Christ invites you. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And then he also says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door and let me in, I'll come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. What beautiful friendship and fellowship. But you must volunteer, my friends, as a soldier. You must hear the word of God and believe it with all of your heart. You must repent of the sins of your life, confess the name of Christ, and be buried with your Lord in baptism. That's the way you enroll as a soldier. And you by that means honor and obey, of course, the steps of the Savior in obedience through hearing his word. Romans 10, verse 13 through 17, he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But he said they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So believing that word and repenting of our sins and dying to the love and practice of sin, confessing the precious name of our Savior and being buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins, that's the way you enter the army. Now, no one glorifies the Father, of course, who's not in his army, the church. Ephesians 3:21, that's the place to give honor unto our Father and glorify him. And so, soldiers, as that, he will have to save at the last day because they're his. He wants to save us. Christ will not reward those soldiers of Satan, though, except with eternal destruction. Now, let's look at the reward for a few moments because it really stirs our minds, doesn't it? The faithful soldier's reward will be wonderful. There is no doubt about that. It is indeed the victory of all victories. It is the garland of all garlands that we shall wear in the eternal city. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But now notice also in Luke 6, verse 22-23, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. Now this is not only recorded in Luke 6, but also the words are given in Matthew 5 by our Lord himself. The war is serious, isn't it? It certainly is. It's severe. And the temptations of this life are very strong, they're very subtle, but you can have victory over them. Victory certainly is certain for the child of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, he said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Now the servants of Satan will receive wages, but that wage will be eternal death, in torment, separation from God, in hell fire, with Satan, their master, forever and forever. That is taught in Romans 6:23, Revelation 20 and verse 10, then in verses 13 through 16 of Revelation 20, and Revelation 21:8. They shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. But soldiers of Christ will be given eternal life with him, their master. And that's what Jesus said. Now, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye may know the way. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How know we the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to his soldiers, who will be given eternal life with him as their master. Now, those who enroll in the army of King Jesus, upholding the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel's cross, is in reality also embracing a cause leading to his own personal welfare, isn't it? He both glorifies Christ, and he seeks his own self-interest, his own redemption, if you please, through God's saving grace. The triumph of Jesus is secure. He is guaranteed the victory. Revelation 11:15, he said the kingdoms of this world is, or literally has, become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. What a wonderful thought. The triumph of Jesus is secure. He will win the victory. And so sure is the victory that it is spoken of as if it had already occurred here in Revelation 11:15. Now, my friends, in order to be a part of the victory, we have to be a part of the war. And in order to be a part of the war, we have to be a part of those who have entered the service of our Lord. And we do that, of course, by obedience to the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel today?